I want to extend, as was already expressed, a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I want to express special gratitude and thanksgiving. Not only the mothers, think about we have some great grandmothers in here. We have some grandmothers and we have some mothers and we have mother figures here, as well as maybe some those that will be mothers one day. We just we want to say thank you, and we appreciate you. We know, we feel like maybe that word thank you is not said enough to all of those in those positions. And my prayer, and just thinking about the sacrifice and the selflessness that is shown, that mothers show, the Lord, is something that should be appreciated. And when we have that we see the kind of effect that that has on all of our lives, when mothers have that kind of attitude towards their children and their loved ones, and it's a blessing. And is my prayer is that it would be something that those that recognize it, and it's really all of us, as we recognize it, will be something that we would express, not just on Mother's Day, you know, that it would be something that we express all the time. I thank God for my mother, and I endeavor to try to reach out to her at least once a week. As I'm traveling on the roads, I have time just to reach out and just talk to my mother, and I'm thankful for that. And I want to be grateful. I want to give her flowers while she's yet alive. And we know those that your mother has gone on, you still carry her with you. And you can still look back and think about memories and blessings and an influence. And the thought this morning is a mother's influence. And I didn't realize when I sat down to study that was right along with the Sunday school lesson. So thank the Lord. I was sharing the Sunday school lesson was about a king's and those that are in authority's influence. And the definition that was shared this morning in Sunday school was right along with the one that I had written down. It's influence is the power or capacity to cause an effect in indirect or intangible ways. And I think about just in that the definition of that word, and even in the definition, there's some powerful. You notice that? That said it in the definition, didn't it? There's some powerful words that are given as it relates to that. It talks about influence and how there's power in influence, and how that influence it can affect in it ways, it says, in indirect ways. Indirect is in ways that are not realized without you actually taking the time to observe them. You ever had an influence, and maybe you observe somebody, maybe they have some same mannerism, maybe a mother and a daughter, and you see the mother, and you've seen the mother and how they interact, and then you see the daughter and how they interact, and you look at them and you say, you do that just like your mother. You know, and somebody might sometimes have to point that out to you in order for you to realize it. Sometimes you look at your own self and somebody tell you something like that, and you're like, no, I don't. But then when you stop to really think about it, you say, you know what? Yes, I do. You know, it's the truth. You know, yes, when I stop and think on it, maybe there's things that you do that was something that was passed down from your mother that you do maybe that you don't even realize. Those indirect ways. And it talks about intangible ways. It means those that are not easily estimated. So you don't even realize the effect, maybe, the influence that your mother had on you in different ways that you act and how you carry on in life. I think about there's a common expression. And maybe you've heard these expressions. One of them says, when mama's happy, everybody's happy. You ever heard that expression? You've heard that one. What about this one? This one maybe is not as well properly grammared. But that the other expression is, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You heard that one? Maybe you've had the opportunity to experience that, right? And the thought being is the fact that it emphasizes the fact that a mother's mood or a mother's disposition can have an effect over an entire household. That's a lot of influence, isn't it? We talk about that. That definition was talking about a power and a capacity for a cause and an effect. It can change the whole house. So in other words, what that lets you know is happiness or unhappiness, it's effectual, right? It can reach out to others. Right. And one way of looking at it, one wrote, said something about the mother is the thermostat for the house. Sometimes we think about that in a natural sense. When it's a little cold, you need it to warm up a little bit. When it's hot, you want it to cool down. But you think about that influence that a mother has over an entire household can affect the mood of the spouse, can affect the mood of the children, just about how they act. And you know, mothers have to deal with a lot of things, don't they? As they go from day to day, it's a wonderful to have a mother that relies on God because they can depend on God. So when the difficult thing come, they know how to handle them. And there, those things are not expressed out to the children and those that are in the household. Oh, and thinking about just natural things, just in my own life, and thinking about maybe in our lives how we are shaped. Our character is shaped by our mothers. I grew up, my mother raised 6 boys and 2 girls. And I think about some of the things that she influenced us. I think about the things naturally that she influenced us. We had to do dishes. We had to clean. We had to do chores. We had to sweep. We had to do laundry. I remember being I don't know what age we started. We had to fold everybody's clothes. Those are things that was influenced, things that I do. I remember one of the things that we had to do as a preteen and as a young teenager. I had a little baby sister. And in the summertime, I may have shared this story before. We used to like to go outside and play. Not so much, it seems like nowadays, folks don't want to go outside and play, but that's what we used to do. We used to like to go outside and play. But one of the things that we had to do, and just thinking about the influence again of a mother, you'll understand where I'm going here in a moment, we had to put her to sleep. So before we could go outside, after she was fed, we had to get in the rocking chair and put her to sleep before we could go outside. And y'all think about how that influenced. And I believe that doing that is something that I believe the Lord has blessed me with still now. I believe I have an aptitude to be able to rock little babies to sleep. And I think that goes back to that influence. When I'm, 12, 13 years old, I'm raring to go outside. And she's like, yeah, you can go outside right after you put your sister to sleep. But, that kind of influence, it's a blessing. And I'm thankful for that. I think about one other thing in a natural sense, something that she taught us. And we heard last Sunday the message about good food. You know, and then brother talked about the good stuff. Well, it's the good, the sweets. I like sweets. Maybe I like them too much. But you know, one thing that she instilled within us to always eat your other food first. You know, that stayed with me. I was by myself at college, nobody around, and I sit down to eat, and I had my good food, the good food, and then I had the special food, right? But, I couldn't eat. That was still in my mind. Still, I had to eat my other food, and to this day, I still do. I mean, I like the good stuff, but I always eat my regular food first. Just that influence. that she had that still is still there. Oh, those things are naturally that we understand. But, you know, I realize that, you know, the most important thing, you know, the most critical and the greatest influence is on spiritual things. I think about just the influence of my mother in terms of being a praying woman. That's something that I endeavor to do by God's grace, to be a praying, someone that pray, you call on the Lord. And that effect of her living a holy life, living the life before all of us in that household. You know, and I know it's a joint effort, but we're talking about mothers this morning. But it just that influence was far greater than all those other things, because those are things that's going to last for eternity. Those things, and you know, there are things, influences that are passed down from generation to generation. But this is the most important. This is the most critical, is that spiritual influence. And I think about many of us, no doubt, have been blessed with mothers that have influenced in that kind of way. And we can be thankful and grateful for that today when we look at our own lives today and think about the spiritual influence that our mothers had on us, and we can be thankful for it. We can be grateful for it and realize what a blessed privilege that was. And, you know, even for those maybe that didn't have that, you know, it can start with you. You can be the one that starts a generation of having a spiritual influence on those that come behind you. It had to start somewhere. You know, we're thankful for those of us that have had something that was passed down. Maybe it'd been passed down from a great grandmother or whomever it was, we've been passed down from generation. But if that's not your story this morning, you can be the start of that for those that come behind you. You can set the example for those that you have an influence with. And we can, you know, what a blessing that we have. Aren't you thankful for memories? Memories, you know, even those maybe that his mothers have passed on. You can have recall those memories to your mind, maybe blessed times, and maybe there's things that you go as you go throughout the day, maybe things that you do or things that you think about that'll bring back memories of your mother, and it can uplift and encourage you and inspire you. And I pray that that's still the case, and it will continue to be the case. I'd like us to look at a few examples in the Word of God this morning. I'd like to begin, and I feel like you can't really have a Mother's Day. You're going to have a message about mothers without talking about Brother Timothy. But I'd like us to get a little context of him before we go to 2 Timothy, the first chapter and the fifth verse. So I'd like to begin in Acts to give a little context of him and where he came from. And then we'll go over to that other verse. So let's start in the 16th chapter of Acts. And the first verse, this again is giving us a little background on him and his lineage. Acts 16 and 1.
Then came him to Derbe.
Then came he to Derbe and Lystra.
And behold, a certain disciple was there. Named Timotheus. The son of a certain woman. Which was a Jewess. And believed. But his father was a Greek.
So this is Brother Paul speaking here. And he's talking about here his acquaintance with Brother Timothy. And we're finding here that we have a little background here that his mother was a Jewess, but his father was a Greek. So now we'll go forward to the verse in 2 Timothy. And the first chapter and the fifth verse, the one very familiar text of scripture. But then again, this was the background to that, and we will talk about this a little bit. So let's go to 2 Timothy 1 and 5.
When I call to remembrance
the unfeigned faith that is in thee,
Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois
and thy mother Eunice,
and I am persuaded persuaded that in thee also.
And I am persuaded that in thee also. So we have a little understanding here. So now let's dig into this Brother Timothy's lineage a little bit. It says here in this verse, and this is Brother Paul speaking. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned love that is in thee, that first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois. So he seemed like Timothy had some kind of connection, Brother Paul had a connection with Timothy's family. He knew who his mother was. He knew who his grandmother was. So we were talking earlier about it had to start with somebody. And it seemed like it started with his grandmother, Lois. That somewhere along the way, his grandmother got a hold of the gospel story, found out about Jesus and who he was, and came to believe that he was the Son of God. And there was a change that no doubt took place in her life when she recognized who Jesus was, and the purpose that why he came to the world. And there was there was a change and effect that happened in her life. And it affected her in such a way that she endeavored by God's grace to instill that within her child Eunice. Right? So we find that whatever his grandmother, he no doubt saw God working in his grandmother, and then he saw God working in his mother. But if you go back here in Acts, it says that his father was a Greek. So that means in that household, there was two different fashions going on here. Here on the one side, there was a non-believer, his father, and then his mother was a believer. So Brother Timothy had a choice that he had to make, didn't he? This wasn't something it was an easy decision here. Here on the one side, he's got his father, and fathers can have influence too, right? And his father, it says that from what we read, it doesn't seem like he was a believer. But the influence of his mother, see? The influence of his mother, Eunice, it had an effect on him. It had such an effect on him that he made a choice that I'm going to follow after what mama believes in. I've seen the impact of what God's working in her life, and that was something that I want it working in my life, and I'm going to endeavor to follow that. You know, sometimes, it's not always an easy choice, is it? Maybe and with the enemy, we know the enemy's always involved. There's a pull, right? There's always a pull. Which direction you're going to go? But you know God is faithful. And God was faithful to Brother Timothy to give him that example. So now what he recognized was that, you know what? I can see God working. And in no doubt, the faithfulness of his, not only his mother, but his grandmother, it had such an effect on him that he chose to go in that direction. He said, I have to make a choice now, and I'm not going to follow after my father. I'm going to follow after the influence of my mother. And you know what? I think about just in this verse in Timothy, it talks about the unfeigned faith. So that would seem like the foundation of God working in his grandmother and his mother's life was the faith and trust and confidence in God. And that's what had an effect on him. That faithfulness of God superseded all the other areas of life. And the pulls that he was getting maybe in the other direction from his father. No doubt his father was trying to influence him in a certain way. But the faithfulness of not only his mother, but his grandmother. And that affected him in such a way that he said, I'm going in this direction. I'm going to follow after them. You know, and in that history, that's where that history began. It started with that grandmother, right? And her belief and trust and confidence in God. So, you know, it's a blessing if we have something maybe that's been passed down from generations. But you know what? Again, I repeat, if that's not your case, let it start with you. Amen. Let you be the one that say, I'm going to stand on the truth of God's word. I'm going to believe in this Bible and the things that it says. And I'm going to live by it. And I'm going to leave the decision now to you, to those that come behind you, because you lived the life before them. And then the rest is up to them. I'd like us to look at one other individual. And in this instant, maybe the story's it's a little bit different. It's found in 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter. But before we read, I want to give us a little context here. We're going to talk about Hannah this morning, or this afternoon now. So if you know, you can read a little bit about Hannah. I'm skipping some of this just for the sake of time, and I'm going to provide the context to it. But Hannah was one of the wives of, and now I'm struggling with the word. Elkanah. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Elkanah had that time. They had multiple wives. So Hannah was one of his wives, but she was barren. She was barren, and his other wife had multiple children. And it seemed like there was some contention there. And every year they would go and make yearly trips to the city to worship and offer sacrifices unto the Lord in Shiloh. So she had a desire. So we'll pick up here in 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter. And we'll read a little bit here. The first chapter. We're going to begin reading at the 4th verse. 1 Samuel 1 and 4. And when the time was come that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, that was his wife, and her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So he recognized that there was some contention there, and so he gave a double, that worthy portion is a double portion he gave unto Hannah. And it says that her adversary also perverted her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And then in the 7th verse it says, and as he did so year by year, so she went up to the house of the Lord, and she was provoked again, and therefore she wept, and she did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? So he's wondering, why you feel so sad? Why are you grieved? Why aren't you eating? What's going on here? And he no doubt knew what was going on. So he said, why is the heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? I mean, all mothers, all women want to have children, I believe. That's something that God gives him. So that's kind of difficult. That's a difficult question for him to ask. No doubt she had a love for him, but she just desired a child from God. So she expressed that. He understood, no doubt, why she was feeling the way she felt. So we pick up here in the 9th verse. So it says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. And it says, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And in the 10th verse, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And as she prayed, it says here in the 11th verse, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass there in the 12th verse, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. And it says, now Hannah, she spoke in her heart. So she was praying from her heart. Sometimes we can pray with words, but you know, the most effectual, fervent prayer is when the prayer is coming from the heart. So there was a God understood the sense of urgency that she felt because it was a prayer from her heart. And it was such from her heart, maybe she didn't even have the words to be able to express the desire that she had before the Lord there. So she just prayed within her heart. So as she was praying there, it says and now Hannah, she spake in her heart only. She spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So she's praying from the heart, moving her mouth, but nothing's coming out. And the priest is there looking on, and it says there, therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Now think about this. Could she have responded in a way to take offense to that? Here she's pouring out her heart towards God. And just she's not even able to express with words what she's feeling in her heart. And here the man of God comes along and saying, why are you drunk? What's wrong with you? She could have taken offense to that. But that, what you know, that lets you know something about her and her heart and her character. And when you think about that, we'll think about how that affected Samuel, right? All right? But so she didn't take any offense at all. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. And I'm just fine. I'm just pouring my heart out to the Lord. And she said here, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. So Eli, he said, answered in that 17th verse. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou had asked, that thou hast asked of him. You know, he didn't need to know what it was. Did he inquire? Did he ask her, well, what you praying about? That didn't matter. With the sincerity of her heart, he just announced a blessing upon her. And his blessing was, may God grant you the desire of your heart. May God see your heartache and your pain and your sorrow that you're suffering with. And may he look down in love. May he look down in pity. May he look down in compassion. And he may grant you the desire of your heart. So she went on. And it says here in the 18th verse, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So by Eli pronouncing that blessing upon her, she felt encouraged and inspired within her heart that, you know what, God, I believe God is going to grant the desire of my heart. So now I don't have to be sad anymore. I don't have to be sorrowful. I don't have to carry this weight around with me. I'm going to give it to God and let him bless and work it all out so I can go ahead and get some nourishment to my body. So as we continue in the story, in the 19th verse. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass in verse 20, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Then will I bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. So she had purposed in her heart that, Lord, if you grant me this desire, then I'm going to take this child that you have given me and I'm going to give him back to you. So what do we, as we go down to verse 27, when she gave, when the time came, when he was weaned and she brought him back to the prophet Elijah, and said, I'm was that woman that prayed. That one that you thought was drunk, I'm that woman, and God has blessed me with a child, and I'm giving him to God for his service. So it said in the 27th verse, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he shall worship the Lord there. So I want us to pull out some things about what took place here in this story. You know, we can recognize from reading this passage that Hannah was a woman of prayer. Yes. She was a woman of prayer. And think about, I could imagine, you can maybe ask a question. How much do babies and children understand? But don't you think there during that time when she was nurturing him as a baby, that she no doubt had many conversations with him to let him know, I want you to know that I prayed for years. I prayed for years for you. I was barren. I didn't have any children. And I prayed and I prayed. And God gave me to you. And I want you to know that I've given you back to God. And when the time comes, I'm going to lend you to God to be used in his service. So think about from the time of his birth, no doubt she explained. We don't know how much they comprehend. I believe that they're a lot smarter than we realize. And their understanding is their comprehension is a lot greater than what we can know and understand. But I think about maybe just her letting him know that you are a special, that you are, your life is going to be dedicated to the service of God. From a child, no doubt, whispering that in his ear. And don't you know, take note of something about her. She was a woman of integrity. There's nothing that we read ever that there was any kind of, maybe there was conflict that was going on in her mind after she had made that decision. I might want to keep him. Maybe that was that. Maybe there was some, but it's not expressed in the word. It seemed like that her integrity was such that it wasn't even something that she even questioned. That she had made a vow to God and that she was going to stand by that vow no matter what. Maybe she, I'm sure that she relished and enjoyed all the time that she had. Being thankful and grateful. You know what? I may not have his whole life to nurture him and all that, but the time that I have, no doubt she put a lot of effort into caring for him and bringing up, and again, just know that who knows how many different conversations that she had with him during that time. But you think about how the single decision that she made in saying, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. The effect that it had and the influence that it had on his life and what God planned for him in his life and the service that God had for Samuel. Even as a boy, you know the story. You know how you think when Eli was getting up in age and God would start calling out to Samuel. And he first thought it was Eli. But then Eli told him, just say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. So even as a boy, the trajectory of his life that was established because of the influence of that mother, it started with him as a boy. And God had a specific plan and a purpose for him. And you know, we don't read about anything in the Word about any time, any kind of rebellion or anything against Eli. It was just his intent was to follow after the plan that God had for his life. He was a great boy and man of God. And God began to give him special revelations. And he became a prophet and a judge in Israel. And you take note, when you read through Samuel, he was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. And you think about that influence that his mother had. That was something that was passed down from her to him. You know, that spiritual influence. You know, that was the greatest. Yo, she missed out. No, maybe on all the things. Maybe she had in her mind as a young wife that, oh, I'm going to have children and this is the plan that I have. I'm going to teach this and I'm going to teach that and do this and do that. But you know, the most important thing was that spiritual influence that she had on him just as a baby that followed after him his entire life. You know, all of us, we have influence. Whether we're mothers, whether we're fathers, whether we're siblings, whether we're co-workers, whether we're just fellow saints working together. All of us, we have an influence. Whether we're just the person that somebody sees and that walks by in the store, or the one that drives by us on the freeway. you know, what kind of influence, what's my influence? If somebody, they might see me one time, what kind of impact have I had on their life? Maybe I was dealing with a trial and a test and I'm the devil just beat me down and the time that I have when I got my head down, I'm walking by somebody that needs to be uplifted and encouraged with just a smile. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. So that if somebody just has one encounter with me, that they can be influenced in such a way. Even just our countenance. Sometimes we don't even have to say anything. Just your appearance and the way you carry yourself can have an effect on somebody else. You don't even have to say anything. You know, we've heard many others have shared stories about different ones maybe that they've seen from time to time. And then their first conversation with them, you're a person of God, aren't you? You didn't ever say a word. Yes, but it's just in your countenance and how you carry yourself. So all of us, we have an influence on somebody. There are some verses in Romans I want to close with. Romans, the 14th chapter, in the 7th and the 8th verse.
For none of us liveth to himself.
For none of us liveth to himself.
And no man dieth to himself.
And no man dieth to himself.
For whether we live.
Whether we live,
we live unto the Lord.
We live unto the Lord.
And whether we die,
we
die unto the Lord.
We die unto the Lord.
Whether we live,
therefore,
or die, we are the
Lord. We are the Lord's. So when we, the enemy would like to have us think that it's us, we just us. It's just you and the decisions that you make and the direction that you go. It has no effect on anybody. It's your life. You can do what you want with your life. And no, you have an influence on somebody. Somebody's watching you. And you know what? We all have a responsibility. It's God's desire and plan that each and every one of us follow after the will that he has for us in our lives. Because there are different ones that we, each and us individually, have an effect on that nobody else can. We don't all go to the same places. We don't all work together. We don't all go to the same store. Maybe some of us go to the same store. But you know what? Those that you can influence are different from me. So then I have a responsibility to ensure that I'm in the center of God's will. Because you never know the impact that we can have on somebody's life. You go back to these stories that we were reading about. Going back to Timothy's grandmother, Lois. Somebody had an effect on her. Right? Somebody crossed her path in her life where she determined whatever they have, I want it too. So we don't know what, you know, it could just be maybe one encounter that we have with somebody that can start them in a direction that leads them toward God. And then it's something that them establishing a relationship with God can be something that can be go down from generation upon generation. You know, and in this life, we'll never know. Maybe when we get to heaven, God will let us know the impact. But I would imagine that we're not even going to it's not going to matter. Once we get there, we're just going to be happy to be there and happy that everybody else that's there is there. And it's not going to really matter how you got there. We're just going to be praising the Lord all together. So the encouragement to each and every one of us is as we go through our lives, we recognize the influence that a mother has. But we all have an influence. And the most critical and crucial influence that we have is on spiritual things. Amen. I'm reminded of the message that we heard several Sundays ago about talking about provoking one another to love and good works. That's all about that influence that each and every one of us has. And it's my prayer and my desire, Lord, help me. In wherever, whether I'm at home, whether I'm at church, whether I'm driving on the freeway, I'm at work, wherever I am, Lord, I want to be an influence for you. You know, I pray sometimes, Lord, help me to be a representative of you. In everything that I do, Lord, help me in recognizing that I have an influence on those around me. Lord, help that spiritual things are the things that flow out of me. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, patience, goodness, that those are the things that I exhibit in my interactions with your creation. I desire your prayers. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.